Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put up on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will, by any means, disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of these least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
If you see the pardon.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think about something for a minute, real quick, a couple of questions. Was Paul a poor student, or was he just a bad teacher? It sounds kind of funny to put it that way, doesn't it? Did he fail to grasp what Jesus had to say, or did he just dismiss it all while he was writing his letter to the Corinthians? I ask this because if you paid close attention to our epistle and our gospel reading for this morning, they don't really match up. They don't sync together because Paul and Jesus seem to be at odds with what they were teaching. Let's start again with the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not one dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." And that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I think we would probably all agree that Scripture, that is, all of Scripture, is true and vital. But now listen again to St. Paul. "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Nothing but Jesus and the cross. What about every jot and tittle, as the King James Version puts it, of all of Scriptures? What about the law? So what is it? Is Paul not understanding what Jesus is saying? Or is he simply ignoring it? Both really are kind of lousy options, aren't they? Now, we know that there is never a contradiction in Scripture, so there has to be a better explanation. All of you know that this time of year, we're coming to the close of Epiphany, but really what this time of year is the time when we all receive our tax forms in the mail, my least favorite weeks of the entire year. It's also a time that we hear people begin to complain about people in our nation that are just uber rich and how they make the claim that they don't pay any personal income tax at all. And when confronted by that, the response is usually this: "I followed the letter of the law passed by Congress." So years ago, to sort of combat this idea, a flat tax was proposed to replace the entire system. They said 17% across the board for every person in the United States. Sounds very simple, doesn't it? But critics said, no way. It's not that simple, and it can't work. At least it can't work at that rate. Some would like to do the same, would like to simplify what God says in Scripture in several different ways. Some flat out deny the truths that Scripture teaches. Creation did not happen in 6 days. The Red Sea did not really part. Jesus was not really born of a virgin. Now, there are some others who will deny just certain parts of teaching. In particular, by saying anyone can be pastors of our churches, even though Scripture is very clear on the proper qualifications. And in general, take the commandments about murder, stealing, adultery, all getting reduced down to phrases like, well, you know, these people probably deserved what they got, and everybody's doing it these days, so clearly it's okay. So don't you see, it's all just so very simple, kind of like a flat tax. But Jesus says that won't work, especially at such a low rate of keeping the law. Remember, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will pass away. Anything that lowers God's standards won't work. 17% of keeping the law will not work. Neither will keeping 97% of God's law. And Jesus says this simply is not optional. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall it be, its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under feet. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before all others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You see, Jesus simply gives us a command. You must be salt to season the world around you. We must not begin to taste like the rest of the world. You must let your light shine. You must live like Jesus. We cannot be quiet or blend in. We must obey every letter of the law. Jesus does not give us the slightest leeway on this. Is that what he's saying? Sounds like the worst kind of legalism that I can think of. On the other hand, Paul knows nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speeches or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What Paul is saying, the cross is the whole message. You could say Paul was the master of the simple, nothing fancy, with the answer to every question, the perfect Sunday school answer. Jesus died on the cross for sins. The truth is, after Jesus, Paul was probably the most brilliant and complex theologian of all time. And yet he uses the most simplest and familiar message of Jesus crucified. That's it. That's all there is. There is nothing else. We say it here on every Sunday, don't we? Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. Jesus died for you. Jesus' death saves me. Is it possible that sounds like that's all there is? Bible quizzes that come across my internet feed make me crazy. Have you seen these things before? I see them online and they always come with a challenge. If you can get 10 out of 10 and this Bible quiz, then you really know Scripture. I can't resist, so I jump in. They start off rather easily. What river was John baptizing in? That one's easy, isn't it? And then they get a little tougher. What's the name of the first judge listed in the book of Judges? Yeah, see, that one's not so easy, is it? And then they really put the screws to you. how many daughters did Rehoboam, the king of Judah, have? Well, that's impossible to know, isn't it? By the way, the answer is 60. I had to look it up. But is that necessary knowledge to enter the kingdom of God? Is that what Jesus is saying in our gospel message this morning? Know and truly believe Jesus died for you and entered the kingdom of God. Is that what Paul is teaching us this morning? Sounds like Paul may be guilty of what we call gospel reductionism, reducing the word of God down to the simple, to the one thing, the cross of Jesus. So does that mean that we can live any way we want, denying all the other parts of Scripture? How in the world do we reconcile these two contradicting sounding positions? Well, actually, it's very easy. Christ crucified is the fulfillment of every letter of the law. Proclaiming Christ crucified proclaims the entire law. The cross shows how binding the law is. It's the place where God's Son hangs for us. It's God the Father turning over his Son to death and hell over one piece of fruit eaten in the garden so long ago, over one thoughtless word spoken yesterday, over one word that should be spoken tomorrow to tell someone about the love of Jesus but won't be. The cross shows that God's standards can never be lowered. It's 100% compliance. That's it. No excuses. No letting anyone off the hook. In Jesus, we see that every transgression of every letter of the law must and will be punished to the full extent of that law. But knowing Christ and him crucified is also knowing that the whole law has been fulfilled. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. The full extent of the law has been executed. The demands of every jot and tittle have been met. Every letter has been fulfilled, not by us, but for us. Jesus is no legalist at all. He's not driving us to keep the law. He's promising to keep it for us. Paul is no gospel reductionist. He was not dismissing the importance of every word in Scripture, including the demands of the law. He was proclaiming them all when he said Christ crucified. And it's the same for us. We can't dismiss the demands to let our lights shine or be salt to the earth. It's just knowing, really knowing Christ and him crucified. In that, we are also fulfilling the law. The more we know the one thing Paul knew, the more we will love doing what the law demands. Paul was neither a poor student or a bad teacher. So wonderfully, he learned the entire message of God that he was able to teach it in one simple phrase: Jesus Christ and him crucified.